Sherry, thank you so very much. And at this time, I'd like to start the meeting. And Sherry, if you would call roll, please.
Okay, on the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Tech Sergeant Christopher Malley, Mr. Nate Skinner, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. James Nelson, Mr. Sam Young, Mr. David Brown, Mr. Scott Nelson, Mr. Jeff Lucas, Mr. Mike Leghorn, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Ms. Jillian Nicolazzo, Ms. Erin Calwara, Mr. Rick Williams. Is there anyone else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Yeah, Robert Hugie from Assistant ECD.
Thank you.
Hey, Sherry, it's Rob Reddington with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Thank you, Robert. Anyone else on the phone?
Adam Rolfe from Department of Transportation.
Adam Rolfe, thank you. Anyone else on the phone?
Naomi Ulrich, Motorola.
Thank you, Naomi. President Anchorage, I have Mr. Dan Nelson. Dan, I'm sure there's some other folks there.
There are, and President Anchorage here, in addition to me, Mr. Scott Stormo, Travis Conant, and Tim Little.
Thank you. That completes the roll call.
Thank you very much, Sherry, and I welcome everybody to the User Council meeting this Wednesday, April 6th. At this point, hopefully everybody had some time to review the March meeting minutes, and I'd like to open the floor for any comments, suggestions, changes to the minute, to the March meeting minutes. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the March meeting minutes.
This is Henry Cole. I so move.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. And a second, please.
Scott Nelson.
Mr. Nelson, thank you both. Any other changes to the meeting minutes? I'll open the floor again. Hearing none, the March meeting minutes have been approved. We could move on to the next item of business, which is the review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, can you give us an update for any changes since the last meeting? And Sherry, your mic is turned off.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, at the last meeting, Mr. Cole notified us that a letter was forthcoming, designating him as the primary and Ms. Jill Nicolosa as the new alternate for DOT.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Sherry. And the next agenda item is the action items list. And Sherry, if you could give us a brief review of any changes since the last meeting.
Yes. The open item from December 2020 meeting, the OMO is putting together a timeline, and that is currently being worked between the OMO, the System Management Office, Mr. Scott Stormo, and that will be further discussed under new business today.
Excellent. Sherry, so thank you very much. So at this point, we do move to the following item, which is the Operations Management Office overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Nelson. Dan?
Thank you very much. So a few items from the Operations Management Office today. The first one I'll talk about is our annual confirmation forms. As a reminder, this is the annual confirmation of our member agency's inventory as required by our legislative audit. Right now we have about 57% of our agencies that have returned those forms, and those need to be in to the OMO by April 29th for the end of this month. So we are sending reminders each week, but certainly want to ask if your agency or your represented agencies have not returned those, please do so as soon as possible so we can get that task completed. If you have any questions on that, do feel free to reach out and If you have questions on your inventory or need to make a change, the help desk can assist you with that. This March, we did our normal document reviews, and the ones that came up this month were the System Management Office Customer Support Plan, the Virus Protection Policy, the System Backup and Recovery Policy and Procedure, as well as the System Key Usage Policy and Procedure. And all of those were gone through the process without any substantive changes and continue to be in force. Talk about March system metrics just for a moment. So a very, very busy system that we had here this month with most likely the result of the Arctic Edge exercise, and hopefully we'll get a report on the experience with ALMR during that. But as you can see, for those that can see my screen, quite an increase in the group and individual calls. So 1,758,000 and change for group and individual calls. And as you can see, that's an increase of 671,000 from March of last year. Push-to-talks, of course, corresponding up, there are about 2,821,000 push-to-talks on the system compared to 2,221,000 last year. So that's an increase of 859,101. Unfortunately, corresponding to that was our busies. We had 969 busies on the system for this month. We dug into this a little bit, so if you just take out the main sites that it was likely that Arctic Edge exercise would be using, which was Birch Hill, Hill 3265, Pole Hill, you take that out, those account for 700 busies out of that 969. So obviously those are much more in line with our averages and likely due to the exercise and the heavy usage. We have 24,704 subscribers in the system. That added 41 from last month. Our sites under below 3.9s. We did have a little bit of a data gap in our metrics due to the software, but we had three of those sites that had some minor issues that caused those to go under 3.9s. For the ALMR website, we had 765 page views, with 57% of those returning or repeat visitors. So, again, as a reminder to folks, the AlaskaLandMobileRadio.org website is an excellent resource. There's a lot of good information on there, and we're certainly happy to help anybody that needs some navigation or we can point in the right direction for finding answers. So just a few other items that I wanted to cover. We had the International Wireless Communications Expo here a few weeks ago that a number of staff went to, and I'll certainly let the folks on the call talk to their individual experiences. My impression, it certainly was a bigger show than it was about 6 months ago. A lot more vendors and a lot more interaction with some of the different companies represented. There were certainly quite a few good sessions, really, really around some central themes. And of course, push to talk over LTE, the integration of technologies like FirstNet, Verizon Frontline, a lot of in-building coverage, some very technical things about kind of VHF bands and frequencies and that type of allocation were all discussed. So very, very good conference. You know, I think my impression and one thing that I like to tell people when we come to these conferences is it's really very easy to see a lot of nice, cool stuff and the new shiny thing. But when we talk about something like ALMR and public safety communications in general, it really does take a very good process of vetting and making sure that some of those things are going to work the way we want them to, and they meet all the criteria and all the check boxes that we need. So certainly a lot of things coming down the pike that are going to be interesting to watch. We will be having kind of a, what I'm going to call an ALMR town hall. So we're going to start something new and maybe see if this is something that's good for a repeat. But we will be sending out a calendar invite here for next month, right before next user council meeting on May 3rd. And this is going to be an open forum, but we would certainly ask if people have questions or items they'd like to discuss. We'll do kind of this live town hall for Teams in order to answer any questions about TDMA or really any other questions about the system. So we want to give a little bit of an opportunity here for some live back and forth between our members and the staff. So both myself, Travis, and others will be on that call. So just as a heads up for our user agencies, if you have any of these kind of little items and things that have come up or come up for discussion that maybe haven't warranted a help desk ticket or a phone call, this would be a great forum to be able to do that and for us to be able to answer your questions and listen to your feedback. So we'll be seeing that one come down as well. And I would like to go to user council representative reports. So I'll start with the central area. Do any of our central area reps have anything they'd like to report today? And let me go up north. Any of our north representatives today?
Nothing to report new for this meeting.
Thank you. And let's go down to southeast. Anything from the southeast part of the state?
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Thank you very much, and certainly appreciate everybody being here. That's the end of my report, but I'll be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Dan. Are there any questions for Mr. Nelson? Hearing none, we'll move on to the System Management Office. Mr. Connett.
Thanks, John. I just wanted to touch base on the GTR upgrade. We've been gearing up and it's getting ready to get kicked off again. We still have 6 sites to install the GTRs, 5 down in southeast and the one here in Anchorage, Atwood. There will be a technician, one of the Motorola STs is coming on the 11th to do kind of a punch list to revisit a few of the sites that needed some further optimization. And then on May 9th, we'll be starting in Ketchikan, going to Skagway, and then into Juneau to finish those GTR sites. We're also getting ready to kick off the DoD upgrade for the Air Force. There'll be a Motorola ST or Motorola engineer coming up on the 11th also to do some site visits for the DoD facilities. And then we'll get a further schedule once they do their site visits, so when they're going to start installing that equipment. The only other thing I wanted to say was me and Dan were talking about the TDMA, and we're going to try to put a little punch list together on if you're buying new radios, kind of what you need to work with the vendor on making sure you purchase when you get those radios. So you'll be seeing that on the website here shortly.
Want to include upgrading existing radios.
Yeah. Sounds fun. We'll get that going. But that's all I got, John.
Travis, thank you very much. Are there any questions for Travis? One of the projects that I'd like to mention.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm please.
Sorry to jump in late. Yeah, this is Rick from USARAC. During those site visits for upgrades, Travis, do we have any Army sites? You said DoD sites, but there aren't really any DoD sites. There are Army sites and Air Force sites. I just wondered if any Army sites were included.
I think when we had a little kickoff meeting last week, and the plan is to go ahead and visit those sites while they're looking at the Air Force sites. So I'm going to escort them to all of them. So I think we're going to revisit all the Army too. We'll be both.
Okay. Yeah. If there's any changes planned for Army sites, I need to be involved in that. So site surveys, great. But anytime that we're talking about exchanging out equipment or making substantive changes, I'd need to be directly involved. I don't have an Army representative in the Air Force. That's it.
Okay. I'll be talking to the PM tomorrow because he's coming up on Monday, kind of see what schedule he was looking at doing. So I can get with you then and kind of go over the schedule.
Hey, Rick, this is Tim. That would be sometime in the future that we're going to happen. This is just a site survey at this point.
Yeah, I just want to be in on the plan.
Copy that. That's why I sent you the invite to the kickoff meeting.
Roger.
Excellent. Any more questions for Mr. Travis? The only other thing that I'd like to mention regarding the upgrades and some of the different projects that are going around, the Alaska State Troopers Pager office in Fairbanks is upgrading to four additional MCC 7500s. And as part of that project, we have kind of a phase two to look at the new next-gen consoles. So hopefully within the next 2 years, definitely be after the upgrades, we'll be looking at the next-gen Motorola consoles. So I just wanted to let people know a little bit about that and then more in the future. Moving on to the next agenda item is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We could start with you, Scott. You want to begin?
Sure. Just to add a little bit more information to what the troopers are doing up at Fairbanks. If everybody wasn't aware, the MCC 7500 is no longer for sale by Motorola. Only the 7500Es are for sale, and you can't mix 7500s and 7500Es in the same rooms because the sound is off by a little bit between the two. So AST was probably one of the last purchases of that platform from Motorola, and now if anyone else out there was needing to add consoles, I'm not sure how that process would work right now. If you got 7500s, it'd be kind of challenging to add any more positions to that. So just be aware of that in case you have dispatch centers. 7500Es are the only model being sold from Motorola right now that is authorized on the system. The next gen console is not ready for LMR yet. And then back over to more of what we're doing with the sites. We're continuing microwave equipment upgrades, getting all of our microwaves standardized, and been doing it up in Fairbanks. We're down in the Kenai Peninsula area this week, and had a freak snowstorm come through that impacted a little bit of our efforts. Still making fairly good progress on that. Hope to be done by the end of May with all of our microwave equipment changeouts. Other than that, I guess there might be some questions, and one of my guys can work with Travis and Dan about the flash upgrades for state and local as to what was procured when we did the $24 million project to refresh our RF sites and do the system upgrade. We took a snapshot of how many state and local APX radios were on the system, and as part of that contract, Motorola gave us flash upgrades to turn those into TDMA-capable radios. So we have that snapshot in time, and we have flash upgrades for all those that are going to be distributed to all the different local agencies. My office will be doing the state agency radio. So I don't think I have anything else to add, unless there's any questions from the state.
Any questions for Mr. Stormo?
Yeah, Keith Berry, Municipalities North. So a letter went out to the users from the state of Alaska that caused some consternation, at least with the agencies that I communicate with. And that letter basically left the impression that sometime in the next 12 to 18 months, they would be going over to TDMA, which we had not in fact about. And I'm hoping that this was just a error in how we communicated the message.
I think you might have cut out for a moment, but the system will be cutting over to TDMA later this fall as part of the upgrade. That does not mean that an FDMA radio no longer works. The FDMA radios and the TDMA radios will continue to work on that system. Does that sound different than what the letter said?
The only issue was that the letter didn't explain that. It just basically said the state of Alaska is fully implementing TDMA, and several of the organizations that I work for all went, whoops, hey, what, you thought you said we were going to have a few years to buy new radios. Are you telling me I got to buy radios within 12 months? So we should probably be just a tad careful with the message we're sending out.
Can you send that back to maybe Dan so I can see a copy of that letter and Dan and that, I mean, the information they're going to put on the website will help clarify any of that. But yeah, the system is going to become TDMA capable during the upgrade. It does not stop the radio, the FDMA radios from working. So.
And like I said, this letter could have probably been a little more clear if it had just said that, you know, we'll be developing a time deadline for non-TDMA radios to be off the system that hasn't been determined yet. But like I said, when people skimmed through it, they were, oh, geez, I got to buy new radios in 12 months and I don't have it budgeted. So.
Yep, and that's definitely not the case. So understand, we'll work on getting that clear information put out onto the web page.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, this is John Rockwell. I agree with what both of you are saying, that number one, the message needs to be very clear. I was unaware that any memo or message has gone out at this point, except for just, for example, if you look at the newsletters and we're talking about some of the next-gen features for TDMA, the need for us to move the radios to TDMA, the fact that we are looking at all new radios be TDMA capable. And that is part of the discussion that we will be opening up in just a few moments under new business for the TDMA timeline. We will discuss the timeline for the technology. We'll discuss the timeline for the radios. I think these are all excellent points that we need to bring up and make sure that we're clear. And yes, if you would please forward, take a picture on your phone or a scan or something of that letter and send it to Scott and Dan, we can make sure that this type of message does not get miscommunicated in the future.
This message came from the state of Alaska. It was sent from Patrick Thornton.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll scan you a copy of it.
Thank you very much. And so, no, we all... Well, I agree. Scott agrees. I know that Dan, we've had some discussions as recent as yesterday afternoon talking about this exact issue, that the marketing, that's not the right word, but the communication, I guess, to onboard the new technology needs to happen correctly. And we have to be sensitive to timetables and budgets and, you know, whether you're a large organization or whether you're a small, volunteer fire department. We need to make sure that we reach out to all groups, appropriately. And so before we continue that discussion, if we could just like put on pause for new business, I would like to switch to Mr. Tim Woodall for DOD updates if there are no other questions for Scott. So let me give another moment to open the floor for questions for Scott. Hearing nothing new, we can move on to DOD. Mr. Woodall?
Yeah, since we were talking about the 5000s, we have about 320 XPS 5000s that we are taking to DRMO, D-R-M-O. Those radios with the microphones and cases and batteries, I think the batteries will be separate, but we also have about 1,000 batteries that are going to DRMO. Local state agencies and other federal agencies can get those through the D-R-M-O process, but just letting you know that we are putting some radios over there, and I imagine over the next 6 months you'll see XCX 5000s in the thousands being turned in to DRMO as those radios are at end of life, no longer supportable, can't get them repaired. And they've been, for the most part, been replaced by the APX 6000s. second item is that from the Executive Council, we were given the task to define the processes and procedures for ensuring that payments are made for maintenance and operations management contract actions that the administration, that the state oversees. As a result of that, which with a lot of conversation, a interagency service agreement is going to be drawn up. We have a JAG officer that will be assisting us on the DoD side with putting that part together, and we'll be working with the state to make sure that we have an agreement that ensures the fiduciary responsibility of the infrastructure owners that participate in the contracting obligations that the state of Alaska has with regard to maintenance and operations management. So this will document the process, procedures, and agreements, and highlight requirements for payment on time and that sort of thing. So if your financial management folks want to get involved in that, they can contact me, but we certainly will be coordinating all this with them. And I think, Scott, you're going to include local government agencies in that agreement. It's going to interagency agreement. So that's up to Scott. I don't know how in-depth that will get, but I'll let him speak to that side of it. I think that's all I got for this at this point. So any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Woodall? Thank you very much, Tim. And so at this point, we'd like to move to the next agenda item, which is new business. The first item on the list is the TDMA timeline. Mr. Nelson, would you kick off the discussion regarding TDMA timeline?
Certainly. Thank you very much, John. So this is a continuation of the discussion we had at our last user council meeting. And as we've touched on some of these things, you know, we would certainly acknowledge that this transition to TDMA, all of the technical prerequisites, all of the operational prerequisites, is certainly something that's very, very complicated and is certainly taking a lot of attention. We've had some very good discussions between the state, the two ALMR offices, John Rockwell, and internally looking at what is the best way for us to roll this out that is sensitive to all of our agency needs. So, you know, over 130 agencies, of course, 130 sets of needs, while still being able to look at, you know, what we need to do to move forward and be able to take advantage of some things that are potentially coming down the pike, as I mentioned during my IWC report for future technologies. So I think there has been some consensus internally that we want to bring to the user council. As you remember, there were some questions about different procedures, what the correct timeline would be, and some of those types of things. And I think really what we've come to over doing several different iterations of that timeline here in the past month is being able to operationally support what we need to support, what our agency needs are, while still being able to move forward and do some of those different types of things. So essentially, there is a TDMA memo. It was sent out this morning. It was updated yesterday after a meeting. So if you wish, please pull out that TDMA PDF that was in your email packet. And that goes through a lot of discussion about the transition. There is some technical information in there. It's certainly not necessary to read it word for word, but we wanted to put a kind of a one concise location for some outreach and things. So as a reminder, when we talk about TDMA, from a system and from a user standpoint, what we're really talking about is essentially being able to double the capacity of the system without additional upgrades. So this is kind of the big carrot, if you will, for us to do this. And so So when we look at something like, say, a four-channel site, as a reminder, the technology will take the voice channels, which is always one less, so three channels, and be able to split it in two. So essentially, you have six users using those three channels, where, as under the FDMA technology, that's one for one. It's only three. So it's a much more efficient use of the spectrum, but also, you know, allows when we get into those busy times, when we get into times of large incidents or emergencies, you know, that's certainly, or exercises, for instance, that's certainly an advantage to be able to have that capacity. So essentially what we've done is we put together this timeline that is in the packet. So as Travis talked about, really this starts with the GTR upgrade that started last year. There's software upgrades that are scheduled here at the core for the fall. And then the TDMA turn-up is currently scheduled for, I want to say, December, right around that time frame. So what we wanted to do is be able to provide some tools for our agencies to go through their respective budget processes, their legislative process, again, 130 agencies, 130 different processes, and make sure that those older FDMA subscriber units can get replaced if at all possible. As a reminder, I think Tim talked about it, you know, if you're using a Motorola XTS 5000 or a 1500, you know, those units have been end of support for several years now. So when we're talking about public safety applications and things, it's, we certainly are cognizant of wanting to encourage those fleets to be refreshed, but at the same time, being cognizant of budgets and, you know, we have 130 different abilities to be able to handle that. So we put a timeline together. This is certainly just a proposal for discussion. But what we wanted to bring to the user council, and that will be taken to the executive council if the user council decides to take action to recommend this or something different, is give essentially a four-year timeline where our goal is to make sure that all of those old FDMA radios are replaced with TDMA capable, whether that's APX or something different. We are encouraging vendors to get their TDMA capable radios to us so we can go through acceptance and make them ready for ALMR. And you can see if you go on our website to the approved equipment list which of those vendors have so far done that. So again, I feel like I'm rambling. A very complicated process. We tried to boil it down into to really the core issues and present something for discussion. And I know, of course, everybody else in the room here, John or Travis or Scott, feel free to weigh in. But John, is that a good introduction? Did I miss anything to start this off?
Dan, I think that you have started us off great. I appreciate the overview of the document. Hopefully, people have had a chance to preview, you know, the document in a little more detail than we can just have it on screen. And I think that the bottom line is our goal is to continue to move forward with modern technology. We also have, this, at the same time, the goal is to refresh the existing radio fleet that is no longer serviceable nor supported. With those two things in mind, we have been asked to, I don't want to say draw a line in the sand, but at least have a target date for the replacement of the radios. So I think the one discussion needs to happen. What if I can't afford to upgrade my radios? Are you going to kick me off the system March 31st of 2026, looking at your target date? I mean, some of those things have to be discussed. And at this point, we are at the very, very, very early stages of this document and of the project going forward. The watermark, unapproved draft, I think, is very appropriate at this time. But we do want to make sure that we open the floor, we talk openly and honestly about what we're trying to accomplish, and make sure that we do not leave anybody out of the discussion. So thank you, Dan, for opening it up. And at this time, I'd like to open the floor to other members to ask questions, discuss or make comments. Scott, if you wanted to bring anything up at this time, this would be a good time as well. Thank you.
Well, just
just quickly, I got a few of you afforded me a copy of the letter that came from the state. So just want to reemphasize what that was saying is it looks like there's a letter and there's a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet has the radios that we got as part of our $24 million project with Motorola that we got the flash upgrades for. So that is just, this is a notification that TDMA is going to be enabled on the system, and that these are the flash upgrades that were obtained as part of our purchase that, you know, each individual agency has, doesn't have to buy now. They just got to figure out how to get them put on their radios, which is what Patrick was sending that message out for. And if you've got somebody capable of doing the radio work in-house, they can do it. If not, we can help figure out how you can get that help that you need to get those flash upgrades. But I don't remember the exact amount cost of the flash upgrade, but I think it was $600.
About 30, yeah.
Right. So those, you know, however many we were able to get for you, that, you know, cost avoided having to individually buy them at about $600 a piece. So this was meant to be a good news letter, not a shock letter. So apologize if there was any misunderstandings of what it was saying.
Mr. Woodall, I'd like to add one thing to your timeline, pretty serious, before you can operate TDMA with your radios on the system. You have to have a FCC and NTIA frequency license that authorizes TDMA missions. The current spectrum licenses do not include that emission designator. We are going through the process of modifying those on our side. I can't speak to the state. I'm sure that they're doing that. But both ends, the 154 to 15665 repeater side, and then the 138 to 144 megahertz subscriber side, licenses have to be updated. Of course, so the DOD is handling the upgrade of all of the modification and the addition. We're not going to get rid of the FDMA emission, but we're going to add the TDMA emission to the subscriber licenses, but the state has to do that for the repeaters. So before you tune up and operate in the TDMA mode, please ensure that we have the licenses approved, so I would ask Dan that you guys put the licensing on that timeline. And I would say 1 year is probably appropriate. And I'll get into reasons why it would be 1 year, but hopefully it could go faster.
Yeah, it's down on the prerequisite task, but
okay,
yeah. I understand what you're saying here.
I'll add it to the timeline just so we don't miss that. But yeah, we have started those discussions.
Yeah, I mean, you put it on your radio, you're likely to try to do that. And then, you know, if we then we're not operating according to how we're licensed. So.
Spoken like a true frequency manager.
Thank you, Tim. And at this time, we're still open. The floor is open for any questions or discussion points regarding the TDMA upgrade. And that's both on the system side as well as the subscriber unit.
Hi, this is Chris Martin out of Eielson. Last month, we were talking about up to 5 years. And I see the latest date right at 4 year right at the beginning. Is there any way we could change that to about December 2026 or... is there a consensus amongst us for a few more months? Thanks.
Thank you, sir. And I don't believe that there is a have to date. Again, I believe that Mr. Nelson just threw this up as a straw man, and I don't believe that would be a problem. Dan, if you want to address the time period for this document. We could go around the room, and if you would like, but at this point, it's far enough out that I don't see it'd be a problem changing the March 31 to the December 31 of 2026, is because we're still calling it a target date.
Yeah, I would agree with Chris. DoD typically has a five-year budget cycle requirement. So it's with the amount of money that we're talking with the upgrading radios or flashing the current radios that we have, that five-year time frame is probably appropriate. More than appropriate, it's required.
Thank you, Tim.
And I'll say this for Nate, since he's not wanting to beat this as the dead horse, but the life cycle of a radio is probably like 5 to 8 years. So we use these things for probably 2 to 3 times what their intended life cycle is. So. But I have no issue with that. Again, this is a target date. We could make that, you know, 1/4, 1/4, 1/4 and put it out to where whatever it needs to be. This is really just to try to get people to realize, you know, they need to be thinking about this and planning on replacing their older radios. It's not, unless Motorola or the technology, you know, the FCC and NCAA go to narrowbanding phase two, there's nothing technically at the moment that we are aware of that will stop an FDMA radio from working on the system.
I think in this case, most of the DoD has the APX 6000s. We just need to do the flash.
Thank you. So Keith, I'm sorry. Continue on, please. Sorry.
Keith Berry in Municipalities North. So from the fire end, if we're going to set at some point in the future a hard drop dead date for FDMA units, we would want to probably make sure that we're not doing that during the summer months during the fire season, because that's one of our biggest times of the year for interoperability, and to have some of our smaller agencies along the roadways drop out of the system would be probably not the best thing.
Thank you.
So definitely like a December date would be, you know, December date, you know, non-fire season would be much better.
Exactly. Thank you, Chief. And I appreciate the wording that you used, because I'd like to bring that wording back to life. And also something that Scott said, at this point, I do not believe it's our intention to not allow FDMA radios on the network. If there is some reason that we need to have FDMA radios still be on the network, as long as we understand the limitations that it causes. As Dan brought up the document, it talked about that channel sharing, where it basically increases or doubles the amount of channels. Once you put a FDMA radio on that tower, that whole talk group becomes FDMA, so therefore it uses both sides of that channel or both channels. And so we're trying to make sure that we take advantage of the technology and we use it wisely. But at this point, we are not saying that you will not have the ability to have a radio, an FDMA radio on the site. I think that'll be the future discussion. But at this point, we're saying we need to have every radio purchased today TDMA capable. We need to take the existing FDMA radios that are capable of flash upgrades and make sure that they happen. And Scott has already addressed some of that with that one memo that he has pre-purchased some of the flash upgrades. We need to make sure that where it makes sense that we have only TDMA radios on those sites, so we don't get, you know, our busies and stuff like that as we move forward. And I'm hoping, Dan and Scott, that I'm not trying to, and I'm not, I don't know, whitewashing or you know, making this thinner than it is, but I don't believe the decision as far as the date of whether it's March 31st or December 31st is where we turn off the capability of FDMA radios. As Scott says, there could be some other reasons that we might have to do that regarding future upgrades from Motorola or FCC licensing or something like that. But it's our intent to continue to support the system as best we can And at this point, with the technology, the best we can is to continue moving towards TDMA technology.
Right. Yeah, as long as there's FDMA radios on the system, as John pointed out, it impacts the efficiency of the system. And so this memo is not saying an FDMA radio will no longer work after that point. It's just trying to make the date known out there so people can use that to help get budget over the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that date ends up saying on that, to help them refresh their radios. So what we did want to do is get to 2026 or 2027 and not really have ever done anything to try to educate everybody on this stuff.
Exactly. And as we move forward, if there's a need, you know, we want to address it. Again, we're trying to, you know, work, as Dan said, you know, all 130, you know, plus user agencies, work with each one of them individually and make sure that we understand their needs. At this point, we're not saying we're going to kick you off, but if you have a need for FDMA continuing, or if we have some type of an exercise, or if we have some type of a sharing agreement, or have, you know, then yes, we need to have the capability to do so.
This is Henry Cole with DOT, and I guess understanding that what we're looking at is a goal and as a framework rather than a drop dead deadline. I think if we change that March 31, 26 to December 26, I think this is all very reasonable and very doable. And I appreciate Dan bringing it forward, and I would support it and suggest that the user council adopt it. If for no other reason, then it'll make getting funding for user agencies, I think, much easier with kind of, I don't want to say concrete, but a firmer timeline than a firmer timeline in front of us to look forward through.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cole. I couldn't have said it better. Okay, the floor is still open for comments or questions or suggestions. Dan, at this time, are you asking for the user council to approve this draft to be moved forward to the executive council?
John, if it's the consensus of the user council that this is a reasonable time frame, and I think we can, in a motion, change that date or just direct me to change that date. The executive council will be meeting here in just a few weeks. And since we had discussion previously, we could bring this up to them at that time for kind of that final approval. So if there is the will to make a motion and direct me to move it forward, I certainly will.
So, Sherry, how would you like to handle this? I assume that the motion would be to adopt that the draft for the TMA timeline with the suggested changes of December 31st to that target date be made. So how would you best like to handle that motion and then the approval of?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. Yes, I believe we just make the motion to approve the proposed TDMA timeline with the suggested change to the target date, to the end target date.
To the end target date. That would be worded well. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. So, approve the proposed TDMA timeline with the suggested change to the end target date for presentation to the executive council.
Excellent. So at this time, I entertain a motion as stated.
John, this is Erin. I have a follow-up question, if that's appropriate, before you do that.
It is, ma'am.
Okay. Would it be reasonable or appropriate? A few people have stated in different language that it is not the intention to force people off, but the intention, as long as the technology and Motorola will support it, to allow the other radio still on the system. That was delivered verbally. I don't have that document in front of me. I don't recall if it's on there. Would it be appropriate to ensure that that verbiage is also passed along with this draft document?
Well, at this point, if we want to make multiple changes of the document, I think that we can do that, but I would not suggest doing that in a large forum like this, Aaron, because then at that point we're wordsmithing to the point of, I'm not sure if that's appropriate. I think the using words like target should be suffice that intent. I don't think there's anywhere in the document where it says that there is a drop dead where we're going to be turning off FDMA. Those are my thoughts. You know, again, I'm willing to hear your thoughts, Aaron, at this point, as far as the document. If you would like to move that we table and work on the document itself, that also is an option.
I just wanted to bring it up as a discussion point for the other users, because it was crystal clear to me when you said it. It was not crystal clear to me when I read it originally, and it has been a little bit. So
thank you very much.
Don't intend to slow down the boat.
I'm really glad that we've got you on Aaron, because you're always so honest when it comes to what you think when you're reading and then what you're hearing. So I think we could get the motion on the table if we might, and then it's still open for discussion before it's called. And then if for some reason the document doesn't seem to fit, then we can either, table it and then open for another review or what. I think the reason that we're trying to do this now, just to kind of bring a little more information in, is right now we're busy working budgets, and we would really like the Executive Council to get this in front of them in the next meeting, because they only meet quarterly, and we don't want to wait until summertime when the budget creation process is over. And so if we do that, that could maybe put people off even another year. And so I think if you have some changes to certain words, we can look at that, but I just don't want to have to go through the whole document.
This is Henry Cole. I will move that the user council adopt the transition policy document in front of us, subject to the two changes. One, changing the target date for TDMA only to December of 2026. And second, that the very last sentence be amended to read, it is the goal of the user council that all non-TDMA radios be replaced by December 31, 2026. And further, is the goal of the user council that no radios in use be terminated from the system.
Did you get that, Sherry? That's three changes, the two dates, and that no radios are terminated from the system?
Yes, the change was to the timeline, the last sentence, the last paragraph, and it is the goal of the UC that no radios be terminated from the system.
That's it.
I hear a motion on the floor. Do I have a second? Come on, Aaron. Give me a second.
Second, Keith Berry.
I'll give you a second.
Keith, you were first. Thank you very much. All right. Now the we've got the discussion open for the motion on the floor. Are there any other questions regarding the document? Any other changes that we need to modify the motion for? Any concerns?
And John, this is Dan. A quick comment here, if I could.
Of course, Dan.
So one thing I did just want to give some information to the user council is that part of the reason why we're trying to push this is we're getting an awful lot of questions at the help desk and the SMO level and again, things like the flash upgrade. So one of the things that's part of this policy is it does have a little bit of an outreach plan that we want to do to try and work with these member agencies individually and make sure that everybody is, A, aware of the transition, because we know there are some agencies that may still not be or really haven't been brought up to speed. But having kind of that target timeline, which, of course, you know, in the future may be subject to some adjustment depending on external conditions, really allows us to have some more definitive answers. I mean, quite frankly, we're briefing people that it's coming, we should plan, we should prepare, but, you know, the thing that everybody wants is the date. And so this will assist us in helping member agencies. And
Dan, thank you so very much. It almost sounded like you cut off there, though. Are you still with us?
We're still here. Can you hear us?
Okay. Yes, we can. Thank you. The floor is still open for discussion regarding the document. Aaron, did the last change help with where you were going regarding the FDMA cutoff?
Yes, that makes great sense to me.
I thank you so very much, and also Mr. Cole for bringing it up. Anything else before we call for a vote? As they say, discussion open, discussion close. Sherry, is it okay if I just do all in favor and then all opposed? And then if it sounds the same, we call for a number vote, or how would you like to do this?
We can go through those folks that are on the phone if you want to do it that way for a yay or nay vote.
Let's start with a yay or nay and see how close we get. If there's any nays, then we can call for a name vote. So at this point, if you could open your mics, if we could say all in favor of this motion, please say either aye or yes.
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 Aye.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you so very much. And if I could turn this to the other side, all opposed to moving this document forward to the Executive Council, please say no or nay. The vote's unanimous and it passes. Thank you so very much, everybody. So if we could move on to the last part of the new business. I need to bring the document back up. Sorry for the delay here.
It was site prioritization, John.
Site prioritization. Thank you so very much, Sherry. So the last agenda item on the new business is site prioritization. And again, Dan, would you like to open the discussion on this at this time?
Thanks, John. So in the past, the user council has identified certain areas that may be priority for coverage expansion or capacity expansion throughout the state of Alaska. The last time we did this was in 2016. Of course, we know that there's a lot of informal discussion and things that happen throughout the year. This came up just because it had been 4 or 5 years since the user council had taken action. And of course, as we know with budget processes and things, and likely we know the discussions about AOMR are continuing to happen and as it relates to TDMA and other things, but also we're intermixing some other things in the news, like broadband and infrastructure and whatnot. So really, this is coming forward for a couple reasons. We wanted to really have this document that was something that could be used to answer some of those questions from elected officials and others, and really basically just have that agreed upon prioritization. So what we do each year is we take surveys, two surveys, one general customer satisfaction that we've talked about, as well as site prioritization. We ask our members to identify areas where they may be having issues. And sometimes those issues that come up are radio issues or other things that they can handle through the SMO and get resolved. And other times they kind of get on the list and are there for us. So on your screen, if you can see my document, or please feel free to open the PDF called the ALMR Site Prioritization Briefing that was included in your meeting materials. We start off with, in 2016, the priority sites. And there's six sites listed there, and I'll note that there was areas in Delta and also in the Houston Connecticut Bay Area that had some coverage expansion already done and fell off the list. So that's there for some historical context. What I did in this briefing is I put the results of the surveys from our members from 2020 and 2021 on there just for your reference. And I combined areas that were duplicates and came up with areas that we divided via zone. So you'll see in there in 2020, we had some answers in zone one and zone two. And then in 2021, I did the same thing, divided into zone one and zone two, as well as others, as there was a response for some areas in Western Alaska that currently aren't in the coverage area at all. So I wanted to provide this briefing, and we asked our user council representatives to investigate with the members if they have any other feedback or anything to add or delete to this, and we can certainly take it under consideration. But depending on the will of the user council, we can check and see if there is still any more feedback, if folks haven't had a chance to do that. Or we can potentially recommend some priorities. And if the council is interested, I do have some priorities to suggest, but I certainly don't want to jump ahead in the discussion. So that's your briefing on site prioritization. John?
Thank you very much, sir. And at this point, I would like to open the floor for any questions regarding the document that Dan is presenting. As we think about our own prioritization of sites, think about whether yours is on the list. If you have areas that you know that you would like to make sure that you get on the list, I want to make sure that the document is as accurate and complete as possible. As you know, our priorities might be things like where we have existing technology or sites, we have power, we have the ability to either connect via some type of networking or microwave shot. Just because it might be the highest priority doesn't mean that it's going to be worked on first. But still, we want to make sure that's the will of the user council to move forward if we can get funding to either build new sites or enhance existing sites that they are brought forward.
This is Henry with DOT. The one, I guess, comment I have is that the Zone 1 2020 list and the Zone 2 The 2021 Zone 1 list, it's a tongue twister kind of, is missing a couple things from the 2020 Zone 1 list that I would like to see added back in, and those are the bottom of the Richardson Highway. It says on there 0 to 16, but 0 to 40 might be better. Gets you on the other side of Thompson Pass. And then also Kennecott-McCarthy. But other than that, I think the lists, for DOT's perspective, seem reasonable.
Excellent. And then, Dan, did you get those suggestions?
Yes. And Henry, could you give me the milepost one more time on the Richardson, please?
0 to 41 will clear Thompson Pass, which is probably a area of key concern.
Thank you very much.
Just to make sure I understood that, the 2021 does not, those were just what was identified then. The stuff in 2020 is still valid and the stuff in 2016 is still valid.
Yeah, so this is very much a continuation. I really just put what the members told me, and so this is certainly the time to add it. Absolutely.
Okay. So the whole list, you look at the whole list to figure out what it is. It's not like as of 2021, this is what matters now. It's you got to look back at the prior ones as well.
Correct. And certainly I still appreciate the feedback, but it's a little bit of a hard thing because people describe areas differently in different mileposts and such. So I just put it on there as it was given in the survey just for clarity instead of trying to edit it. So, yes, it's everything on this document is valid. The actual spreadsheet we have is actually many, many pages long, you know, going back multiple years. And certainly things don't drop off unless we have a reason to do that or we resolve the issue somehow.
Other comments, suggestions? I don't hear any other comments, Dan. Right now, are we just looking at giving this out as information? And then if people would like to make comments back, they get back to you and Sherry, or how would you like to handle this?
You know, I think that's probably the best thing. I know this has been out there for a little bit. So I'll ask that if you do have any comments or other priorities, to put in there to please get that back to me. Certainly, you know, within the next, let's just say 14 days would be preferable. And that way we can edit our master list. But yeah, we can do that. We can certainly, if we want to put that out there, we can bring it back next meeting to finalize. Or like I say, I do have a couple probably priority suggestions that the user council could simply by motion act on as a priority. But again, this is simply just a consensus document. So if there was a question, say from an elected official or somebody that we want to do this, what's the priority that we have an answer. So we don't have a strict timeline. So it's really up to the will of the council, how they want to handle this one.
Thank you, Dan. So at this point, I would like to just make sure that the users have it in front of them, that you are able to work with the different areas within your region. Try to get feedback back to Dan within the next couple of weeks. And then between now and the next meeting, I'd like to work with you, Dan, on your recommendations for the council to move forward.
Very good.
Okay. Anything else on site prioritization before we move on to the next agenda item?
This is Scott. Just a quick comment that might be helpful for us to know is if you're talking portable or mobile or both coverage, if these are meant to be places where it's not working, because the system was designed for 95% mobile coverage, which means there's plenty of places where a portable won't work when you get out of a vehicle, for example. So if it's a request to improve portable coverage, that would be worth noting as well, even if there's mobile coverage already there.
Good point. Thank you very much, Scott. All right. The next meetings are currently scheduled for May 4th and June 1st, and I don't want to cut anybody off. If you have any updates or questions or anything that we need to bring up as new business. So hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Nate Skinner.
Nate Skinner, thank you very much. And a second, please.
Scott Chris Martin out of Allison. second.
I did hear you, Chris, out of Eielson, so we'll go with that one. Thank you very, very right, much. At this point, we're adjourned.
Don't forget, everybody, we're going to have the interconnect presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, before we adjourn, Dan?
So I'll just try and thank Sherry for getting in there. So we do have the Instant Connect system demo now, and since we are, I think, adjourned, I can turn it over. I think, Mr. Rolfe, are you speaking first in this?